All right, let's dive into the world of plastic manufacturing. We're talking blow molding versus injection molding, and we've got a whole stack of articles here ready to unpack.
Yeah, it's amazing how much these two processes impact our daily lives, you know? But they're so different.
Right. So think about blowing up a balloon.
Okay, got it.
Now imagine doing that inside a mold that's blow molding in a nutshell, perfect for hollow stuff like bottles and containers.
And then injection molding, think of it more like using a syringe. You're injecting melted plastic into a mold, which lets you make solid or really intricate shapes, like, oh, I don't know, Legos or even parts for cars.
So one's all about puffing things up and the other's about squeezing them in. Makes sense. But how do manufacturers decide which one to use?
Well, it all boils down to shape. If you need something simple and hollow, blow molding is your go-to. Fast, efficient, perfect for making tons of bottles. But if you're talking intricate details like the tiny gears in a watch or a complex phone case,
Oh, so that's how they make those fancy phone cases.
yep, that's injection molding showing off its skills.
That's wild. But what about those big plastic storage bins? They don't seem that complicated.
You got it. They're not super intricate, but they're still hollow and need to be tough. Blow molding's great for that. It's like you can make a huge bin with just one piece of plastic, so there's minimal waste.
So blow molding is the efficiency champ, but I've also heard it called the speed demon of production. What's that all about?
Oh, yeah. Blow molding is known for super fast cycle times. We're talking seconds. Like, you blink and a bottle's done. Perfect for high volume production of simpler designs. Imagine trying to make millions of water bottles any other way.
Wow, that's impressive. But I'm guessing injection molding takes a bit longer with all those details and such.
You're right, it can be a bit slower. Filling those intricate molds, cooling them, getting the parts out all takes time. But the trade-off is precision. Injection molding can crank out thousands of identical parts with incredible accuracy, which is super important for things like electronics or medical devices.
So it's like speed versus precision, right? Blow molding pumps out simple shapes lightning fast, while injection molding takes its time to nail those intricate designs. This is fascinating. But all that speed and precision probably comes with a price tag.
You're on the money there. Cost is a whole other layer to this, and it's not as simple as saying one method is cheaper.
All right, let's talk money. What are we looking at cost-wise?
Well, upfront, blow molding tends to be more budget-friendly. The molds are simpler to make, so the initial cost is lower. It's like choosing between a simple cookie cutter and a fancy 3D printer. The cookie cutter is cheaper and works great for basic shapes.
So if you need a bunch of simple containers and you're on a budget, blow molding's the way to go. Makes sense why it's so popular for things like bottles and packaging.
Exactly. But here's the thing about injection molding. The initial tooling cost is higher because the molds are way more complex. But the cost per item drops as you make more. So if you're making millions of something, that upfront investment can actually save you money in the long run.
So it's about finding that balance between your budget now and your production goals later.
Absolutely. But we've talked a lot about shapes, speed, and cost. What about the actual materials used? That's going to be a huge factor, right?
For sure. The articles we have here really dive deep into that. I'm ready to get material.
Okay, well, let's start with the MVP of blow molding, polyethylene, or PE. Think milk jugs, squeeze bottles, even some plastic bags. Flexible, strong, relatively cheap, but that's PE.
So PE is the workhorse for those lightweight, flexible containers. But with injection molding, you can make way more detailed designs. Do you need different types of plastic for that?
You're spot on. Injection molding opens up a whole buffet of material options: ABS, nylon, polystyrene, even polycarbonate. Each one brings something unique to the table.
Wow, that's a lot of choices. It's not just about picking the right molding process, it's about picking the right plastic too. So what are some of the key differences between them?
That's where it gets really interesting. Welcome back. Ready to keep exploring blow molding and injection molding?
Totally. Last time we talked about how molding's like blowing up a balloon in a mold, perfect for bottles and stuff. Then there's injection molding, where you're basically injecting melted plastic, much better for intricate shapes. We even touched on speed, cost, and materials.
Right. And digging deeper into production volume, the articles really highlight how injection molding shines when you need to make a ton of identical parts. That's where its precision and efficiency really take the lead.
So it's not just about one tiny gear, but making thousands or even
Yeah.
millions quickly and accurately.
Exactly. And since you can reuse those molds, the cost per item goes way down as production ramps up.
Yeah, the initial investment for injection molding might be higher, But the long-term savings can be huge, especially for those big production runs.
So it's kind of like buying in bulk and saving big, but for manufacturing. One article mentioned something called gas assist injection molding. Sounds pretty high tech. What is that? Oh, that's a really neat innovation. It lets you create even more complex internal structures. Imagine molding hollow channels or intricate passageways within a solid plastic part. That's gas assist injection molding.
Whoa, so you're injecting gas into the mold with the plastic.
Yep. And that gas creates those internal cavities. Like, think of it as blowing a bubble inside the plastic part. It's a clever way to use less material, make lighter parts, and even boost strength and rigidity.
It's mind-blowing how complex you can get with plastic.
Yeah.
It really pushes the limits of injection molding. But getting back to cost, the articles also mentioned those initial setup costs for injection molding can be pretty steep, right?
Yeah, they can be. It's mainly because of how complex the molds are.
Yeah.
You're often dealing with multiple parts, super precise movements, and those tiny, tiny tolerances. That level of precision needs some serious engineering and manufacturing, which drives up the initial cost.
So it's like investing in a top-of-the-line machine versus a basic hand tool, right?
Yeah.
The fancy machine might cost more upfront, but it can do way more, and it's super fast and accurate.
Perfect analogy. And just like any investment, you gotta weigh the costs and benefits. If you're only making a small batch of something, that higher upfront cost for injection molding might not make sense. But if you're thinking mass production, those costs become less of a big deal as you make more units.
So there's that sweet spot where the production volume makes that higher initial cost worth it. And finding that sweet spot, that's where the design and manufacturing teams really earn their keep, huh?
For sure, they need to look at the design, materials, how many they're making, even long-term goals to figure out the best method. It's a delicate balancing act.
And I'm guessing that balancing act also includes thinking about the environmental impact, right? Sustainability is a big deal these days. How do blow molding and injection molding stack up in that department?
Great question. And it's an area where both methods have their ups and downs. Blow molding can be pretty efficient with material use, especially for those big, hollow containers. Remember how we talked about making a big container with just one piece of plastic?
Yeah, like a perfectly fitted suit using every bit of fabric.
Right, that minimizes waste and keeps the overall material footprint down.
But what about injection molding? Any sustainability perks there?
There are. Injection molding might not always be as inherently material efficient as blow molding, but it offers way more material choices. And some of those materials are specifically designed for recycling or to biodegrade.
So if you need something that can be recycled or biodegraded at the end of its life, injection molding might be the better choice, even if it uses a bit more material during manufacturing.
You got it. That's why it's super important to think about the entire life of a product when choosing between these methods. It's not just about what happens in the factory, but also what happens after it leaves the factory and reaches the consumer.
Like that cradle-to-grave concept, you're thinking about the environmental impact from start to finish.
Exactly. And this life cycle thinking is getting more important as we try to be more sustainable in manufacturing. Oh, but we can't forget about the molds themselves. We touched on them earlier, but they're really the heart of both blow molding and injection molding.
Definitely. The articles we have here really highlight how complex the molds can be, and that complexity can really impact the cost and what each method can do. Tell me more about these molding marvels.
Well, molding molds tend to be simpler and cheaper to make. They're usually made of aluminum or steel, not a lot of moving parts. Just picture a hollowed-out sculpture of the final product.
So, heat up the plastic, blow it into the mold, and poof, a bottle or a container appears. Simple and effective. But I'm guessing injection molds are way more complex, especially with all the intricate details they can create.
Right, again, injection molds can be crazy complex with multiple parts, precise channels for the melted plastic to flow through, and even mechanisms to eject the finished part. They're finely tuned machines, and that complexity shows up in the cost.
Like comparing a hand-cranked pasta maker to a super high-tech industrial one. The hand-cranked one makes simple shapes, but the industrial one can create all sorts of fancy pasta designs super fast and precisely.
Now, that's a delicious analogy. It really shows that trade-off between simplicity and complexity in the world of molds. Blow molds, simpler, cheaper, great for high-volume production of simple stuff. Injection molds, with all their fancy designs and moving parts, let you create those super complex shapes with incredible detail and accuracy.
So it's like each method has its own set of tools, each one best suited for a specific purpose. But let's get back to materials for a sec. Earlier, we talked about polyethylene being the go-to for blow molding. Are there any other materials commonly used in this process?
Oh yeah, for sure. Polyethylene is the most common, but blow molding can also use other thermoplastics like polypropylene or PP and polyvinyl chloride or PVC.
Hold on, you said thermoplastics. That word keeps popping up in these articles. Can you break that down for me?
Of course. Thermoplastics are plastics you can melt and reshape over and over again without really changing their chemical makeup. Think of melting butter. You can melt it, solidify it, melt it again, and it's still butter.
So that's why they're perfect for molding, right? You melt them, shape them, and if you need to, melt and reshape them again.
Exactly. That ability to be melted and reshaped makes thermoplastics super versatile and widely used in manufacturing. Now, going back to blow molding materials, polypropylene is often used for bottle caps, food containers, even some toys. It's known for being tough, rigid, and resistant to chemicals.
So if you need something that can take a beating, polypropylene's a good choice.
You got it. And then you have PVC, which is common in pipes, flooring, even some packaging. It's durable, water-resistant, and relatively cheap, which makes it a popular choice for all sorts of stuff.
Wow, so even within blow molding, there's a whole range of material choices, each with its own unique properties and uses.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that makes blow molding so versatile and widely used.
This is incredible. The world of plastics is so much more complex than I ever realized. Back again for more on blow molding and injection molding. We've gone pretty deep, from those basic concepts to some pretty mind-blowing stuff. Uh-huh. It's amazing to think how much goes into making all those everyday plastic things we use.
Absolutely. From puffing up balloons and molds to injecting molten plastic with crazy precision, we've covered a lot. Shapes, speeds, costs, even the science behind the materials. Now, in this last part of our deep dive, it's time to put it all together. How do these processes actually shape the products all around us?
You know, one thing that really hit home for me from all these articles is the whole life cycle of a product. When choosing between blow molding and injection molding, you got to think about what happens after the factory, right?
Yeah, it's not just about making the product. It's about its whole journey. What happens to it? Will it be recycled, reused? How's it going to be disposed of? Those questions are crucial from the very beginning, even in the design phase.
It's like thinking about a product's whole life story, you know,
yeah.
From the moment it's made to the day it's, well, not used anymore. And it sounds like both blow molding and injection molding have their own sustainability stories to tell.
Definitely. We've already talked about how blow molding is pretty efficient when it comes to using materials, especially for those big hollow things. But there's something else cool about blow molding that adds to its sustainability cred. Multi-layer products.
Multi-layer. Okay, now you've got my attention.
So picture this, a plastic bottle with different layers of plastic, each with its own job. You might have a tough inner layer for strength and a special outer layer designed for printing or to keep the contents from spoiling.
So it's like a combination of superpowers all in one bottle. How does that make it more sustainable?
Well, for starters, you can use less material overall. Instead of one super thick layer of plastic, you have multiple thinner layers working together. More efficient, less waste.
It's like building a house. You've got this strong frame, and then you add insulation and siding to make it comfy and energy efficient.
Exactly. And with those multi-layer bottles, you can also keep food fresh longer, which means less food waste. Another win for sustainability.
Blow molding is really stepping up its sustainability game. But what about injection molding? Any cool innovations on that side?
Oh, there are. While injection molding might not always be as naturally material efficient, it's got a wider range of materials to work with, including some pretty awesome bioplastics.
The bioplastics, now that sounds futuristic.
Bioplastics are made from renewable stuff, like plants, instead of fossil fuels. They're a much more sustainable option compared to traditional plastics, and some can even biodegrade or compost.
Wait, so you're making plastic from plants? That's amazing.
It's a pretty cool development in the world of plastics. Bioplastics are still kind of new and can be a bit pricier, but they're getting more popular as people look for eco-friendly options.
It's awesome to see how both these methods are changing and adapting to create a more sustainable future.
For sure. And those changes are happening because of consumers like us demanding better options, new technologies popping up, and a growing awareness that we need to do things differently.
Speaking of tech, one of the articles talked about 3D printing. And how it's starting to shake things up in plastic manufacturing. What's the deal with that?
3D printing, or additive manufacturing, is pretty revolutionary. You can create 3D objects right from a digital design. No molds needed. It builds things up layer by layer, using plastic filaments or resins.
Sounds straight out of Star Trek.
Yeah.
How does it compare to blow molding and injection molding?
One of the biggest things about 3D printing is its versatility. You can make super complex shapes with intricate details that would be crazy hard, if not impossible, with those traditional methods. It's like having a digital sculptor at your disposal.
So many possibilities. But what about cost and speed? Can 3D printing keep up with those mass production techniques we talked about?
That's where 3D printing still has some catching up to do. It's getting better, but for those massive production runs, it's still generally slower and more expensive. Where 3D printing really shines is for customized or personalized products, or when you need to make prototypes or small batches of specialized parts.
So it's a special tool in the manufacturing toolbox, perfect for those jobs where precision, customization, and complexity are key.
Exactly. And as the technology keeps getting better and cheaper, we'll probably see 3D printing play an even bigger role in the future of plastics.
Pretty exciting stuff. But you know, with all the cool tech, it's easy to forget about the people behind it all. There are designers, engineers, and technicians who are constantly pushing the limits of what's possible with plastics.
So true. It's their creativity and problem solving that drive all the innovation in this field. They're the ones asking, what if, and finding new ways to make things better, more sustainable, and more useful.
It's a good reminder that even in this high-tech world, it's the human touch that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. And for me, that's one of the coolest things about exploring these topics, seeing how science, technology, and human ingenuity come together to create the products that shape our lives.
We've been on quite a journey today, from the ABCs of blow molding and injection molding to those cutting-edge innovations shaping the future of plastics. What's the one thing you really want our listeners to take away from all of this?
I think the biggest takeaway is that making plastics is a constantly changing field. It's not just about melting plastic and pouring it in a mold. It's about understanding materials, picking the right process, thinking about the environment, and always pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
It's a field that needs both brains and creativity, and it's always evolving to meet the needs of our changing world.
For sure. And as we wrap up this deep dive, I hope our listeners will take a closer look at the world of plastics. Look around your home, your office, even just your everyday stuff, and think about those plastic things you use. How are they made? What are they made of? What kind of challenges and innovations went into making them?
It's a world full of hidden surprises just waiting to be discovered. And by understanding those everyday things, we can appreciate all the creativity and cleverness that goes into making the world around us. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of plastic manufacturing.
It's been a pleasure.